Father, we thank you for the opportunity to come round the table to be fed once again. Thank you for the truth in the Word of God, and thank you for the truth that will be revealed. Cause us to see, cause us to hear, help us to be receptive. In Jesus' name, hallelujah. Changing me and changing you, we have come with open hands.
Ancient words impart.
Ancient words ever true. Changing me and changing you, we have come with open hands. So let the ancient words impart. Ancient words ever true, changing me and changing you, we have come with open hands. Oh, let the ancient words impart. Hallelujah. Thank you, choir. That's a fantastic duet. That's what we have tonight. Praise God. And so I want to encourage us this space to read Exodus chapter 2. You read Exodus, the whole of Exodus chapter 2. And then through to Exodus chapter 7, I encourage you to do. You'll be able to have some good thoughts about the life of Moses. And then you'll be able to situate some of the things that I've been teaching you. And then, of course, I will encourage that you read the book of Deuteronomy 34. Therein lies the end of the ministry of Moses. So Exodus, actually, you can start reading from Exodus chapter 1, isn't it? If you want to read Exodus chapter 2, you can start reading from 1. So Exodus chapter 1 through to Exodus chapter 7, and then Deuteronomy 34. Comprehensively, you'll be able to read the life of Moses, and then when you attend Bible study like this, you'll be able to learn from the teaching. Promise me that you will do so. You promise. Praise God. Amen. So I said to us that I'll be teaching the life of Moses in threefold: the first 40 years, the second 40 years, and then the last 40 years. So, from birth to age 40. Then from age 40 to age 80. And he actually fulfilled his ministry from age 80. Isn't that interesting? You know, so that's the way we are going to look at it. And so for reading, let me do Exodus chapter 2, 1 to 15. Very quickly, and there went a man of the house of Levi, and took to wife a daughter of Levi, and the woman conceived, and bare a son. And when she saw him, that he was a goodly child, she hid him 3 months. And when she could no longer hide him, she took for him an hack of bulrushes, and daubed it with slime and with pitch, and put the child therein. And she laid it in the flags by the river's brink. And his sister stood afar off to wit what would be done to him. And the daughter of Pharaoh came down to wash herself at the river. And her maidens walked along by the riverside. And when they saw the hack among the flags, she sent her maid to fetch it. And when she had opened it, she saw the child, and behold, the babe wept. And she had compassion on him and said, this is one of the Hebrew's children. Then said his sister to Pharaoh's daughter, should I go and call to thee a nurse of the Hebrew women, that she may nurse the child for thee? And Pharaoh's daughter said, go. And the maid went and called the child's mother. And Pharaoh's daughter said unto her, take this child away and nurse it for me. Isn't this interesting? And I will give you wages. And the woman took the child and nursed it. And the child grew, and she brought him unto Pharaoh's daughter, and he became her son. And she called his name Moses, and said, because I drew him out of water. Let me spare you of the four verses. Let's go to Acts chapter 7, so that you'll be able to situate the whole Testament account in the New Testament. Acts 7:7. But when the time of the promise drew near, with God as sworn to Abraham, the people grew and multiplied in Egypt, till another king arose, which knew not Joseph, the same dealt subtly with our kindred, and evil entreated our fathers, so that they cast out their young children, to the end they might not live. In which time Moses was born, and was exceeding fair, and nourished up in his father's house 3 months. And when he was cast out, Pharaoh's daughter took him up and nourished him for her own son. And Moses was learned in all the wisdom of the Egyptians, and was mighty in words and in deeds. And when he was full 40 years old, it came into his heart. Exodus chapter 1, verse 7. And the children of Israel were fruitful, and increased abundantly, and multiplied, and waxed exceeding mighty, and the land was filled with them. Now there arose up a new king over Egypt, which knew not Joseph. And he said unto his people, behold, the people of the children of Israel are more and mightier than we. Come on, let's deal wisely with them, lest they multiply. And it come to pass that when there falleth out any war, they join also unto our enemies, and fight against us, and so get them out of the land. Therefore, they did set over them taskmasters to afflict them with their burdens, and they built for Pharaoh treasures, cities, Pithom and Ramses. But the more they afflicted them, the more they multiplied and grew. Verse 17, but the midwives feared God and did not as the king of Egypt commanded them, but saved the children, the men, children alive. And the king of Egypt called for the midwives and said unto them, why have you done this thing and have saved the children alive? And the midwife said unto Pharaoh, because of the Hebrews women are not the Egyptian women, for they are lively and they are delivered here, the midwives coming unto them. Therefore God dealt well with the midwives, and the people multiplied and were very mighty. And it came to pass, because the midwives feared God, and he made them houses. And Pharaoh charged all these people, saying, everyone that is born ye shall cast into the river, and every daughter ye shall save. 2:2, and the woman conceived and bear his son. I want you to tie all those readings together, and I want you to follow this thought. The first point I want you to see is this. For every purpose, there is time. That's the first point I want you to get. For every purpose, there is time. So timing is attached to the fulfillment of God's purpose and counsel. Along with that, I want you to see that timing on heart is orchestrated from heaven. When the time for an event comes, before you begin to see the fulfillment or agitation in time, there are moves in the eternity. So, eternity time the occurrence of purpose. There's nothing that happens on earth that was not first settled in the spiritual. There's nothing. Every accomplishment, every landmark event are preceded by conversation in the heavenlies. Can I say to you, ladies and gentlemen, that not even individual lives, faces in the life of a nation, or faces in the life of nations generally, the way a government will be birthed, the way a government will end, are all orchestrated by happenings in the heaven. Things move in heaven, and then you see occurrence on the heart. There's nothing that you see happening in your life, or things you see happening in government or in system. You know, I don't know who I was talking to last week. I said, after God is government. That is another institution on hearts that is powerful, either positively or wrongly. After God is government, a government is bigger, mightier than the richest on earth. When Abiola said I wanted to become president, he had everything. But he thought, I need power. Power resides in government and in governance. You understand that? You are going to see that from this training. However, government is orchestrated from heaven. You know what the Bible was saying about Jesus? A child is born. Isaiah 9:6, I suppose. A child is born, a son is given, and government will be upon his shoulder. You see, things don't happen on earth in government and in governance without the knowledge of God. Men can give the way that government should run. For example, in Nigeria, the politics say there's APC, there's PDP, there's PPP. You know, there's a spiritual hand behind all those things. It's human knowledge that will say there's Republican in the U.S. and there is Democrats in U.S. Yes, those are human knowledge. You know, but you see, the hand that moved them are beyond them. You know, as I said, they rigged the election. It's because the hand that has moved has allowed the election to be rigged. Do you understand that? And that's why, as a matter of fact, a believer should as much as possible initially understand that government is of God before you begin to key yourself over political parties. Believers, when you have that understanding, you will know that every government is of the Lord. You see the scriptures. Sometimes when God wants to deal with his people, he will bring a government that will be a king. And when God have mercy on his people, the same God will destroy that government. And then we bring a government of peace. Individual lives, like I said again, your destiny is orchestrated, you know, by force from heaven. I want you to see that the life of Moses, and by extension, listen to me, ladies and gentlemen, because some of the things I've been saying, you look at yourself and say, Pastor, are you talking about me? I'm talking about you tonight. The life of Moses, his birth, actually, was an answer to a cry. And I want to say that it's not about Moses alone. Every child that is born, especially the one that has come to know Jesus as his Lord and his Savior, you are answering a cry. No matter how common you look, no matter how ordinary, no matter the level of failure that you've had in life, hey, your life is an answer. Because if, that's why I said, go and read through the lives of Moses. I'm sure Moses, age 40 to age 80, will look like he's messed up the purpose. You know, the Bible says in Acts chapter 7, he said, when he became 40, he said, it occurred to his heart that the time of fulfillment of purpose is now here. So he went out with a view to fulfilling the purpose. But that landed him in wilderness for the next 40 years. An average man will say, I'm done for. Like some of us, you think your life is done. You made a major mistake. And so say, look, that is it. I can't recover again. Moses thought the same way. He thought, look, hand has come. He thought, I made a mess of the call. He thought, I made a mess of the purpose. Age 40 to 80, he thought that, at 80, you thought that the end has come. But no, the end has not come. You know why? Because the calling and the gift of God are without repentance. So, the first thing I want you to see here is, it is heaven that orchestrates things that happen on earth. I want you to see again, timing and occurrence on earth. You get that? Let's see Exodus chapter 2. So that you see what actually triggered a phase of Moses' life. In Exodus chapter 2, verse 23, you will see timing here again. And it came to pass in process of time that the king of Egypt died. And that was the end of a feast. That was a landmark event. Do you get that? You know, when Abraham was going to listen to the, was going to heed the instruction that God had given him earlier, Terah, his father, died. Hello? You see, he concentrated or he listened after his father died. You don't get that? You get it? Let's see Genesis 17, I suppose. And see here. And when Abraham was... Oh, no. Okay. Abraham, chapter 12. And the Lord has said unto Abraham, not Genesis 17, Genesis 12. Now the Lord has said unto Abraham. Did you get that? Now, possibly years back, possibly months back, possibly days back, but I want to submit years back. God had spoken to Abraham. Get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show you. In verse 4, so Abram departed. Now, Abram, even God has said that to him, but it looks like Abraham, out of fear, out of the fear of the unknown, out of, he was still enjoying the prosperity and the benefit of his father's house. But in 32, Genesis 11, 32, and the days of Terah were 205 years. And Terah died in Haran. Now the Lord has said unto Abraham. So, preceding the death of his father, the Lord has given a word, but you will not listen. So also here, the Bible says concerning Moses, and it came to pass in the process of time that the king of Egypt died, and the children of Israel sighed by reason of the bondage, and they cried. When he was there, why didn't they sigh? When he was alive, they were going through the body. They were having the challenges, but they were still managing. But a landmark event happened. He died. And the Bible says they cried, and their cry came unto God by reason of the bondage. Verse 3. Okay, verse 24. And God heard their groaning, and God remembered his covenant with Abraham, with Isaac, with Jacob, and God looked upon the children of Israel, and God had respect unto them. Now, how did God have respect? The incident of the burning bush. So, when God answered in heaven, there was another landmark event on earth. Acts chapter 7, you know, so that you can reconcile this teaching. But when the time of the promise drew near, with God as son to Abraham, the people grew and multiplied in Egypt. Exodus chapter 2, I want you to see something. That's, you see, when God is in a situation, he's in it. See verse Exodus 1:12. See it. Exodus 7:17. Let me read again. But when the time of the promise drew near, with God as son to Abraham, the people grew, multiplied in Egypt. And Exodus 1:12. But the more they afflicted them, the more they multiplied and grew. Did you see that? The more they afflicted them, the more they multiplied and grew. Why were they growing? Because the time of the promise drew nigh. So, their own even multiplication, they didn't understand it. Their own growing, they didn't even know. Do you understand that? You know, sometimes we want to explain certain things happening in our lives, in our country, in our environment, using, you know, mental sense. You want to use economic sense. We want to work philosophically. Learn from this. Because a time of change was approaching, then they started growing. You know, this one will get pregnant, this one will bring. I bet in rent, yeah, and get on be money. They put them under labor, under pressure. The normal thing for ladies under pressure is to be having premature contraction, is to be having, you know, abortion, miscarriages. That's the way it should be. That's the normal occurrence of things. But for these people, the more the problem, the better they become. The greater the yoke, the more prosperous they become. Not because they had good food, because you can see here that even they were suffering them on every side. But because of covenants. The king called, he said, look, just see, anyone that has a meal, kill them before they come. Okay? because of covenant, something started happening again. You know? Stage two. I don't know, Dana. Doctor. Stage two became very, very short. So, when they take them to the labor ward like this, before the nurse will say, check bang, come on, wow. I want to get it, baby. Why? Because of covenants. Because the Bible says, when the time of the promise drew near, they started multiplying. And again, when that Pharaoh died, they just came to their sense. As though, is that Pharaoh that was the hindrance or was the blockade between the sin, they understanding the promise of God, you know, and they entry to it. So when he died, the Bible says, they say, we can't continue this way. They had to begin to think that way because purpose is tied to time. Let me tell you two or three things about time and purpose. You know, because I don't want the devil to minister to some of us, say, then, has my time not gone? Has my time, you know, is it here? When you begin to have, so how can you know that I'm in a season in my life? You know, because a Christian must be able to understand when you are in a season. Our lives come in season and time. That's what the Bible says, the time to favor Zion has come. It's talking about a season of favor. That's what the Bible talks about men of Issachar. A believer must have an understanding of time. You will see timing in the pregnancy of Mary and the pregnancy of Elizabeth. That is enough to make you to see that God works in season and time. And that's why one of the major prayers of a believer is not to miss your visitation. There's a time of visitation. And glory to God, we have an inward witness that will let you know that there's a season. A season has come. One, two, three things that give you an understanding of a season is when you have a season or your season has come for a certain thing, you have a body. Body signifies the entrance into a season or a preparation to come out of a season. The Bible says that the people of Israel, they sighed. You know, there was a body like never before. They've been through that stress. They've been through that affliction. They've been through that challenge. It looks like they were coping. Praise God. You see, when your season has not come, you have a coping mechanism. You have a coping mechanism. But you see, when you are about to get into a season, you find out that it's either you have a burden concerning an issue in your life. You have so much burden over it. Another thing that happens when your season is come is not only a burden, you become restless. You become restless. It looks like, you know, a way I can describe it is there's a great expectation. You know that somebody that's expecting a visitor, you will answer every knock on the door. You know that if you are not expecting a visitor, you won't bother. So, that's why, you know, they will knock 5-6 times because, especially, you know, when somebody knocks on your door like 11 p.m. But you know that if you're expecting a visitor, Even 12 midnight, you are still saying, Abi, oko won taye oko yen jo lojo ona ni. You know, abi won tete ri moto ni, abi po tan lona ni. Do you understand that? In fact, you want to sleep, you won't sleep. You know why? You're expecting. So when you are entering into a season, your sense of expectation is very high. And you know what the Bible says? The expectation of the righteous will not be cut short. So not only you have a burden, not only you have expectation of restlessness, number three, you have conversation around it. And so I want to submit to you, the timing for some people for season has come. That's why I'm teaching on Moses. There'll be a conversation when God is preparing you for a season. There'll be a discourse like never before when God is preparing you for a divine time. Like I said to you, that there's a conversation in heaven and agitation on hearts. So this teaching, I'm bringing to you an agitation, a conversation in heaven, so that your heart will begin to expect a change. Moses was an answer. When they prayed, when they cried, there was a manifestation. If I can round up with this, listen. The life of Moses is a confirmation of the fact that a man's purpose is greater than his birth. I don't know how your birth looks like. I don't know where you were born. I don't know where your background is. I don't know whether, you know, these days it's funny how parents, they struggle to have naming ceremony party. They understand that all those things, they are all fallacies. They are all waste of money and resources. You know? The most important thing is that give the baby a name. Get your pastor to come. The rice and the drink will be a remembrance of regrets if that child's purpose is never fulfilled. We see children that had nothing in their background and they've risen to become pillars in church, in the nation. And we have children that they did their naming ceremony for 7 days. Each day was a party, and they are disgraced to their parents. His life shows that the type of your birth, the place of your birth, the story around your birth is not as important as your purpose. Purpose is greater. Destiny is greater. And so, especially, I'm going to talk to parents. They understand, possibly next week. Parents must be careful to ensure that they're able to decimate the life or appropriate the life of their children very well. Can I say this to you? Every of our children, is not the child that you see. Be wise to be able to see when you see your child and say, this is purpose. Purpose on two legs. Possibly to help us much more on how we handle those children. We help us how we treat those children. We help us the emphasis. You know, some of us were possibly because of whatever reason. Some children are so bitter. You know, I've seen couples in conflict before, and they transfer the conflict on their children. Because there's a problem between a man and his wife, the man started hating the child. I've seen someone that had a child out of wedlock and hated the child. A folly. You've done stupidly in having a child out of wedlock. You've done stupidly in getting Bele under the bridge. But the fact that that child was delivered, that's the purpose. The fact that that child was, despite everything that you did, I've heard of women that did IUCD. And when the child was coming, IUCD, do koko na si ya wano si. Oni e yoni ye ye, egba ti yo, e mini purpose la ti fulfill. That's what God said to Jeremiah. He said, right from the womb. Can you fathom it? He said, right from the womb I've chosen you. Look at yourself tonight and say you are chosen. No matter how you look, no matter the cycles your life had gone, you are chosen. You are answer to a cry. You are answer of a process that was orchestrated in heaven. And I said to you, if you can follow this, probably will make you to realign. Probably will make you to recalibrate. I've seen individuals before that hate themselves. I had a classmate for a year, 2 years. It was a battle. He said, "Brosho." That's what he used to call me. He said, "Brosho, my mouth is smelling." I said, "Your mouth is not smelling." He was afflicted with demon or infatuation or whatever of halitosis. He failed the exam. I left him in school. Because, you know, in medical school, it's about talking. Word run, you not talk. Because he believed that his mouth was smelly. So he wasn't participating. Devil fighting our destiny can be that bad. Is this ladies that think that, you know, I'm not beautiful? They will be envying another lady. You see guys that think that they are not beautiful. You know, I read on someone's status, very true. Somebody that is short, you know, is envious of somebody that is tall. Somebody that is tall is envious of somebody that is short. He said, "Oh, if I can be shorter." The short, we say, "Oh my God, if I can be taller." And so the short, we go and get 8 inches. Do you understand that? Because I wish I can be taller. And the tall, you know, when we want to take photograph, he will say, "I don't want to appear tall. I just do like this." The one that is that complexion, we say, "Oh, if I can be as bright as some taller, matiri or kotipe tipe, you better see tone." The one that is that complexion, we say, "Oh, I have so stretch marks. I wish I can be a bit darker." A Nigerian will say, "Oh, long kileg be miwa Nigeria see." And that's why I say a lot of mother. I think that is reducing now. By every means, one fellow be must so that the children become citizens. If you understood purpose, you will think more highly of yourself in the light of the purpose of God. you value yourself. You know that I'm created exactly in a way that I will demonstrate the purpose of God. The shorts, we see his shortness in the context of the purpose of God. The tall, we see his tallness in the context of the purpose of God. And so, you will love yourself. It will shock you. A lot of believers, I'm not even talking about human beings, believers, they don't love themselves. If you don't love yourself, how can you love other people? Mi o like bi kun mi se ri, mi o like bi di mi se yo, mi o like bi kini mi se ri, then ori mi, if my head can be like the head of the pastor, you know, mama wa wa pa gan, if you know, we continue from there next week. Praise God. Amen. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Father, for these thoughts you are revealing to us. Father, we pray that we will see not ourselves, but we see purpose in our lives so that we can run purpose like Moses did. I commit us to the grace of God, and I mark you with the blood of Jesus as you depart. Good news, testimonies, we shall hear of one another. Glory to Jesus. In Jesus' name. See you next service, and that will be on Sunday.